billions of people like you, me, and everyone else. We all watch dreams, but very few of us take action to fulfill them. Our guest from today's episode decided to give up everything but his dream and went all the way to Shaolin Temple to fulfill his childhood desire to learn from the source itself. He left a well-settled job and despite of facing numerous hindrances in pursuit of his goal, giving up was the easiest option, but he decided not to. He's a martial artist, a savant, and an innovator in his own sense. In today's episode, you will learn a lot about yourself by listening to his journey. Let's embark on this enthralling conversation with Karan Bagri and Abhishek.
Hey Karan, welcome to Road to Revamp. And after a long, long time.
Yeah. Facebook friends for over like 2 years.
Yeah, almost 2 years. 2 years.
1.5 years, something like that.
Yeah, and we wanted to do it for...
It's been a while. We've been planning something or the other, but it's just not happening.
It's not happening, but...
See?
We are here.
Here we are.
Yeah. And so, I really wanted to know that why you got into martial arts.
So, as a kid, I grew up watching movies of Bruce Lee, Jackie Chan, and... I was really fond of that entire, skill set of hit and don't get hit. So I would keep trying that on my cousins and my siblings. And then luckily I was in a school which focused a lot on co-curricular activities. So they had this martial arts thing and I started with Taekwondo. Mm-hmm. It was the first form of martial arts that I learned, and which was in second standard. And then in my third standard, I went for the first competition and I liked it. Like, I loved that entire feeling of sweating out and the speed in the movements and, hitting and the whole concept of wearing gears. And it's something that, people don't do, like, on a normal basis.
Do you think you were violent at that time?
I wasn't violent, but I'll say I had too much of energy.
Okay.
I think... at that point, martial arts was the only thing that was draining me out. So I felt like I always felt like it was my thing, like to get into it and do it, like to mimic action heroes with their moves, and so that is how it all started.
And so your siblings and your classmates, so what was their idea when they were around you?
I lost a lot of friends because of that. But
lost a lot of
friends. Yeah. I used to beat them, and I would have like regular parent call and stuff, and I would actually use a lot of skills. I would come back home and like when I'm chilling with my cousins and my own sister, I would be like telling her, okay, now you have to do this. Like at my counter, I would hit them really hard.
Oh.
And like just to understand how bad it gets or what's
so how many noses like, did you break?
it was quite a lot. Actually, I damaged a lot of furniture as well in my house because of all of this. And at one point, my parents did stop me from continuing martial arts because they thought that, I was getting out of hand. But after that, again, I was like, it's okay.
So how did you become the calm Karan?
It was this one time I was at this tournament. It was like pretty late actually. It was in class 7, I think, at this tournament, and I was repeating this one mistake that my coach had told me not to do. Mm-hmm. And I got knocked out. So I had like my lips burst and all of that stuff. And after that, I figured, I was like, so you hit and you do get hit.
Yeah.
So, let's control ourselves, let's get more better at this art. And eventually I started listening to people, which like I developed the skill of listening to people and not using my martial arts skills everywhere, because I figured what it was like to have that blow. So
you stopped reacting.
I stopped reacting, and I think it was after that knockout that there was a great change overall. Like I started improving a little bit on my studies, my behavior, and I think it was after that incident I became a better martial artist as well.
It was an epiphany for
you. Absolutely. It was
so good. How did martial art change your day-to-day life?
I think when people say that if you're a martial artist you're like pretty disciplined and all of that. So I think all of that qualities developed in me pretty late. And I think I was a very naughty and I would also say violent. Yeah, aggressive. Like, I wouldn't want to do harm, but I used to love that rage.
Yeah.
So I was like pretty aggressive in, I think after a point I started training for like a good 3-4 hours a day, and like I used to get really drained by the time I was done. And I felt like eventually with that last blow that I was talking about, I figured that, you know, that there's so much of energy which needs to be utilized in the right way. So along with martial arts, I got into football because I didn't want to use my energy on others. So I was like, let's do some more co-curricular. So I got into football, I did yoga, I went for a yoga state championship as well. And along with that, I got into dance, and I started going downhill in my academics again because there was so much co-curriculars. But overall, I felt like because of martial arts, like my base into getting into a lot of different stuff became pretty strong. Like it was pretty good.
But you channelize your energy.
Yeah, I think in place of hitting and breaking and smashing. So that was that.
And so how many martial arts have you learned, like except Kung Fu, before Kung Fu?
So I've learned Taekwondo. I did kickboxing for a pretty long time. I did Muay Thai, but that wasn't long, but I did for like 2 tournaments. I went for Muay Thai tournaments. I did, after that was Wushu. Kung Fu, that's it. So more or less 4 to 5 martial arts.
4 or 5 martial arts. How old are you?
I am 24 now.
Wow, in 24 years, you learned like 4 or 5 martial arts.
I have always, I actually wanted to learn Jeet Kune Do, which was Bruce Lee's main thing, but it's not available everywhere, and it's like, I was searching for it, but like, I just didn't find anyone like very authentic to, you know, like, learn from, go and learn. Like, I believe, like, if you're learning something, learn from the origin. Like, even when I was doing Taekwondo, I went to Korea to learn, and I was learning the Korean martial arts, like Taekwondo. So all of that was there, and then Kung Fu happened, which was again from China, Shaolin. But like, for this, I want to learn this, but I'm just not finding like a very authentic source, because
I think Jeet Kune Do is not authentic at all. Like Bruce Lee used to say, it is the amalgamation of everything.
Yeah, but I just don't know the right source, like from where. Like, see, if I'm going to Hong Kong for learning, right, then there's Wing Chun as well on my list. Now I'm just not sure if Jeet Kune Do would be the best thing in like Hong Kong, because Hong Kong is like the birthplace of Wing Chun. So that is what I'm just a little confused in that entire aspect. But yeah, I want to learn Jeet Kune Do, Krav Maga, and Wing Chun. I think after this, I think I more or less I'll be done with my list.
This was not the part of this questionnaire, but I'll still ask that these Oriental martial arts, and there are martial arts which all originated in West, like Krav Maga, and like BJJ, like Jiu-Jitsu converted into BJJ. And what is the difference in the Oriental forms and
so I feel
Western forms?
Taekwondo was the last martial art form which was discovered, and Taekwondo is so they have taken up bits and pieces of all different martial art forms, and it's the most modern form, and it's all touchback, because earlier it was full contact, and then there were like a lot of accidents that were happening, so they got the entire system of chest guard and guards and touchback and point system. But I think if you look at it as, if you look martial arts in a true perspective, then BJJ and Krav Maga are like the thing, like the to go martial art thing, because it's raw. Like you it's actually the, you hold, you lock, you throw, like there's no touchback. Like in a real life fighting situation, there's no touchback. So it's more of, you know, Krav Maga and Jiu Jitsu. You won't see a guy when you're fighting with someone, you're not gonna touch back him, you know, like, yeah, okay, I got a point, right? So that was that.
They'll gag you.
Yeah. It's more of BJJ, like how well you can get out of that, you know, trap or the grab, or, you know, like someone is attacking you with a knife. Like, it's great. Taekwondo will improve you with speed and everything, but
when you're on the floor, then...
Exactly. When you're on the floor, you can't actually be doing Taekwondo. Like, there's a kick or two, like ground sweep and all of that. But end of the day, you have to use your hands and lock and...
Someone has got the hold of your neck.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to like get into that entire, you know, BJJ Krav Maga zone. Like,
so you're saying that these martial arts originated just because of the practical utility of
More of a self-defense, yes. Like a basic of, you know, like keeping your body fit and all of that. But I think in real life situation, Taekwondo might be helpful to some extent, but not
fully. With the untrained people. I think
for example, if someone wants to do martial arts for sports, then I think Taekwondo is the best, because for a newcomer, he doesn't want to get hit, right? Like everyone is the first boy who joins, everyone is scared to get hit, and I think for that, Taekwondo or even kickboxing for that matter, it's like really helpful to like learn a skill and at the same time get a good body, like maintain it. But the real deal, I think it's Krav Maga or Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Take down.
End of the day, that is what it is.
Yeah. So, let's come to your Shaolin journey. How did you get interested in this Shaolin? You didn't have this exposure to Kung Fu here in India. Mm. So, it was new for you, but you decided to go all the way there. And how it happened? Why you decided to do that?
So, I wasn't actually aware of the fact that there is something actually called Shaolin Temple. I mean, I always knew that, you know, martial arts...
It's a mythical thing.
Yeah, I always thought that, I'll be very honest, I always thought that, you know, like a lot of martial art scenes, like the martial art is a thing in China, but I wasn't sure that if Shaolin Temple is actually the Shaolin Temple, like the ones that we see in movies. Mm-hmm. So, it was actually after one of my commercials that came out. So one of my friend's dad, who had actually trained at the temple, he recommended me to the temple guys, and then I did my R&D on it and I got in touch with them and I sent across all my videos and my credibilities of martial arts like Taekwondo, kickboxing, and they felt like I could join their temple and get some training. And more than the whole Kung Fu thing, I actually wanted to learn the actual way of doing meditation and the weapons, because the temple, like when I was reading about it, I read a lot about meditation and how to, you know, like generate your inner peace and like calm your mind. So for me, since I was very finicky, like from the beginning, I thought it would be a great escape to like just go and train for some time, get into meditation. And at the same time, I always thought weapons were really cool. I always wanted to get hold of weapons like three-section stick and a double sword, like something that you usually don't see people doing, right?
So you never did any weapons?
No. I have only done nunchucks. I used to see YouTube videos and I used to practice nunchucks, and then I got really good with it. And then one of my coaches, he had helped me a little bit to brush up my skill. But other than that, I've never done any other weapons.
Wow. So how was China different?
China was beautiful. People are so disciplined, and it's like everything is so systematic over there. They know that their purpose is to train and join the army. Like the entire school would be training to join Chinese army, and everyone would be, their flexibility level would be 100%, their strength would be 100%, their acrobatic skill would be 100%. And I think I was probably the worst student over there with regard to my performance. So I felt like I was in a zone, like I was out of my comfort zone, which is like my city and my people, and I was in a different zone altogether. So I knew that there was so much of energy in the environment where people are training all day, that I think it was because I think atmosphere matters a lot. Like in China, I think was a perfect place for me to go and improve my martial arts skills. And more than that, there's so much of difference in the way they teach versus the way you're being taught here.
Here is nothing to be taught.
End of the day, it's Kung Fu is like really complex as well. Like whatever I learned in Taekwondo, definitely it was like an advantage to me. But at the same time, Kung Fu is way complex. Like you need your joints and muscles to be really supportive of doing Kung Fu.
I think training of Kung Fu permeates into Chinese daily life.
I
feel so through movies only.
I'll be very honest, in that entire temple, whether it be the sweeper cleaning the ground or whether it be the eyes who would be helping us with setting up our beds and stuff, everyone knew a weapon or some kind of martial art form. Like once they were, so we had like over 40 to 50 food stalls, and we would be going for our lunch, and once we were done with our dinner, the guys who used to cook food, they used to come out, and you would see them with either a stick or a double sword or a metal whip, and they would be doing their training. It was just for like 10 minutes, but they would train every day. And like it's a thing over there. It's like you wear clothes, you know kung fu. It's just everyone in China knows kung fu. Everyone knows martial arts.
And it is so different. Like we are neighbors, we are so.
It was all started by an Indian, Bodhi Dharma.
Yeah,
like it was the Indian guy who went over there and who started all of this. The most amazing thing that I find about Chinese people is so kung fu. There's no sparring in kung fu. Like a lot of people don't know about it, but like in Taekwondo, kickboxing, there's sparring, which is like the main thing. You learn martial arts for sparring, but the way Bodhi Dharma made this entire kung fu pattern, the kung fu system was that it's just for mental and physical, strength and to get a good hold on your body. Like they don't promote fighting,
right?
Which is why in the Olympics you won't see kung fu. You're gonna see wushu.
Yeah.
So wushu is like a subcategory where you see people doing acrobatic skills with weapons. Mm-hmm. And there's no wushu, like kung fu as a whole, there's no fighting in kung fu, like I said. So there's sanda, which is Chinese boxing.
Yeah.
So this is one thing that like really amazes me, like to just keep their culture. They didn't get into Olympics and they made like a different sub.
But how, I want to know your perspective that why these two neighbors, like we are neighbors and we are so physically inactive and inanimate society. And very few people who are moving, they are moving in the gym only. And we are not disciplined at all. And
discipline
where the hell is culture gone in a wrong direction?
You are so much into movement and patterns and experimenting with your body.
Yeah,
I think still people aren't that open about the entire art of moving around. Like if you go to a normal gym, if you see someone doing an animal flow, people just don't understand what's happening.
They're right.
Like they are so orthodox with their training that the same shoulder press and chest press and like, no offense, it's all good.
Yeah, it's
but,
all good.
Like you need to use your, because I'll tell you out of my experience. So I used to regularly squat, right? So when I went to China, I had a major issue with my ankle because there's so much of movement all of a sudden that I was restricted to the same squat and deadlift and hyper movements for ankle. I was actually bruising my ankle very often.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually when I got used to that entire mechanism of jumping and being light feet and one squat stance and all of that, and then I realized that there's so much more of movements,
mm-hmm.
like which is not happening on a normal gym or which is not happening around me. So I just feel like once you've reached a position where once you've tried some activities, there should always be a change. Like if you're doing weightlifting on a regular basis, you can do so much more with just body weight. Like you need to move around more. Let your body be loose.
We hardly scratch the surface here.
Yeah. I feel like in China, so when they train into martial arts, right? Like at the same time, they are also training their kids into weightlifting and power lifting because it's important. Like to move with that, like their dynamics are completely different. But over here, you don't like. I'll tell you from my experience. Like when I was doing Taekwondo, I was limited only to Taekwondo. Like I wasn't doing any other exercise to improve my skill set, like as a whole. So I think a lot of things can change, but
for them. I think what I feel, it's more like breathing,
brushing
their teeth.
Absolutely,
they want to. That is the basic. They have to learn this and then do something.
And then
else.
Do whatever you want. It's,
yeah.
It's like a thing. You have to know this one set, like one skill. You have to know.
Yeah, here and it is.
Yeah, here nothing. It's fine. Like it's. I mean, I think people are still not that much into the whole phase of using their body. Like the true potential is like human body is crazy. Like I mean,
that's true.
It has so much of potential.
Yeah.
Like it's unbelievable. But I mean, I'm just hoping sooner or later people start using their body more.
We all are trying our best to break
it. Like, seeing your videos, like it's something that I actually appreciate. Like it's something that I look up to.
So, what about movement? How do you define it? Got into it?
So,
kung fu is also.
I was actually not a guy who was much into movement and stuff. And I was more of a machine guy. And then
You used to train on machines?
machines as in like the normal lat pull down and you know, like a little bit of cable chest press and all of that, not like a Smith machine and all of that. So after this, after that, I actually started watching videos of Frank Medrano, and I came across this whole thing of calisthenics, which is like muscle up and back lever and front lever, and like I was really amazed by it, and I realized, I was like, this guy is doing everything without machines, and like, you know, it's all core and it's all like solid body strength. So I started digging into that, and once I started getting basic holds like pigeon hold, and then I started, it took me 2 months to get my back lever. So I worked really hard on that, and like I think it was because of that, the journey towards back lever, I think I realized the true potential of a human body, that, you know, like you can channelize your core strength into a lot of stuff. And then I left the machine part completely, and then I started reading more about movements, like the primal movements, and I came across Animal Flow, and then Ido Portel, and then I came across this guy Avinash, your really good friend, and then I saw his videos, and I was like, this is what it is. Like, I was like, movement is
the
game.
What do you feel about it?
I saw Avinash's videos, and I mean, he's great. I really look up to him. He's like one of my idols. And I saw, he's like, so the first video I saw was, he was doing a lizard crawl. And I was like, this, I can do that. But the way, you know, it's not just the thing. It's the way his body is flowing.
Yes.
Like, it was drifting into it. And then I saw him, like, then I started stalking him. And then I saw his helicopter, and his profile led to another. And then I came across Roy Gold and Ido Portel and the entire community. And, like, I was so surprised that none of them had a single video of using a Smith machine or a cable chest press or anything. And it was all with Costco ball and, you know, like, how should I put it, like inverted knees and out and all of that. So I started trying that out, and I figured that I wasn't able to move. Like, my movements were so restricted, either it was like my hip flexor or my abductors, which would be like breaking. And I was like, I want to do that. Like, I mean, I figured that, okay, I'm lifting heavy, I'm doing well, but I felt like it was too monotonous. I reached a point where I was like, okay, I can't do anything more apart from squat, and because I wasn't looking forward to get into CrossFit Games or anything, right? So I was like, now I think it's time to break the pattern. And then I started doing more of the flow work. Like, I started working really hard on my mobility.
You did that Animal Flow level.
Yeah, yeah, I did Animal Flow level 1 and 2 as well. But I think I wasn't that smooth back then. I think it was probably, I had the strength to just hold and just, I think I just made it, I'll say it, to be honest. But I think it's, when I was, my entire journey, my entire time of 6 months when I was in China, I really focused a lot on moving, and, you know, like moving my legs and joints, which you don't usually move, like trying to get into split, and your videos of pancake, I was like trying all of that. Like, you know, those things are so basic, but like, it's the basic that actually helps you move.
Right.
Like, all that complex stuff, it's good, but like, my basics was weak. So that's why I started working more on my basic.
I think the reason is because you are strong.
Absolutely.
You're
absolutely
always strong, and I was always weak. Like, I was a nerd. I told you, I didn't have those basics. So first I decided that as we solve a mathematical problem, we
absolutely
go through the basic
sense.
Formulas.
Step by
and
step.
I just started doing that step by step.
So, and I think that was like beautiful journey, like from nerd to
still a nerd, like, in this regard.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like, so this is the thing. Like, I felt like movement is a never-ending chapter. Like,
yes, it is.
Like, you can, it's so simple. Like, you sit in a squat, and then from squat you can sit down on the ground again. You can lie down, and from lie down you can take a swirl and curl, and then keep moving. Like, it's not it'll never be monotonous. Like, it's so good. Like, it's so vast.
So do you teach movement to your clients?
Honestly, I am not teaching too much of movements to my clients, because they are all more on the stiff side, and right now I'm focusing more on their mobility bit. But as and when they are getting their mobility game a little better, so I make them sit into squat and move left and right, like walk in squat, and then from squat to ground, and then from ground to squat again, like the basics. So that, you know, they also feel like something, such an easy movement. Like, these are movements that we have done it as kids, as toddlers, right? Like, moving on your knee and all of that, and it's so difficult now, like, just to balance your body on two hands and toes, right? Like, when you're moving like a toddler. So these are the patterns that I actually make my clients work on, which is, again, challenging for your core, but at the same time, it's really easy. And I focus more on martial arts with my clients, like so kickboxing.
How do they take kung fu? And because I think you used to do like 8-hour training in China.
I was doing a good 7-8-hour training in China.
What kind of training these people?
No, so I have to like really break all of it, and I don't actually just teach my clients kung fu. Like maybe I teach one stance from kung fu, and then I take them to boxing. Teach them a bit of boxing, then come back to kung fu and teach them another stance, because kung fu is very complex and my clients just have 1 hour, 2 hours, you know how it is, right? So if I make them do one stance till the time they don't get it, I start losing all my clients. So you know, I have to like manage everything, like make them do something that they are capable of doing, which is like easy, and at the same time, like when you box, you went out a lot, right? So you're satisfied once you start getting 2-1-2 or 1-2 duck 1-2, like you know, basic drills. Yeah. So once you start getting a flow, you know, you're more positive that okay, I'm able to do this, so now let me try this. So that is how I keep shifting them. And with kids, I'm training them into weapons like stick and nunchuck. So kids, everyone wants to learn weapons. Like kids, it's cool. Simpler. It's cool.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, you know, we also live in a society where, you know, like the kids, everyone wants to be cool. I still want to look cool on Instagram. Like, why not? Yeah. So, you know, they also get to explore a new weapon, and you don't actually realize, but when you're using a weapon, there are joints and movements that you actually do, which you don't see it on a regular basis. Like when you move stick, like when you start doing the 8 pattern, so there's a pattern, like moving it in an 8 pattern, you tend to open your entire shoulder.
Right.
So all of that stuff is like really helpful for kids, and I think that is how I also open majority of my body parts.
I think that is the merger of martial art and fitness, we can say.
Yeah, correct.
You're doing drills which are hard on your body in some ways, and making some other parts softer.
You're basically, it's like you're playing with your mind. The main focus is to build your body and strength to a great potential, because not everyone is looking forward to get into this entire zone of fitness. For them, it's just to maintain like a healthy lifestyle and get like a good, you know, like a decent beach body kind, which they can just go out and be happy with. But I feel like with others who really want to get into it, with every day of training, they really realize what their body is actually capable of.
Like, I think it's like learning a new language, learning martial arts.
Because
if I'm going to a gym, I'm doing too many unidimensional movements, and which actually don't translate. You may look good by doing those movements, but they don't really translate into day-to-day.
It's simple. It's all about your body. It's about what you do with that body. Yeah. Like, it's simple.
But martial art is like you have learned a new skill. You can save yourself.
It's a skill. Absolutely.
You're building a good body. Yeah. You have
plus self-awareness, reflection. Yeah. Like your reflex.
Yes.
It becomes
reflex.
So good. Like I think it's also your focus.
Yes.
Like, it's all of these words, like it matters.
I think this is a better meditation. Like if someone someone is punching in your face, and then you stay calm, then you are in meditation.
Like, I think for that, when I was learning Tai Chi, I think Tai Chi is very challenging for me because it requires a lot of patience and it's slow. And
you like everything fast.
Yeah, I like everything and like speed and you know, like moving and not stopping. Like I think it's just my body type to get exhausted.
Yes.
Like I think that's just who I am as a person. Like, and like
go getter.
Yeah. Like go get done. Like you die and then it's okay. Like I like that entire phase. So I think the first 2 weeks after doing Tai Chi, I left it. I was like, I don't like it.
In China?
I stopped going for like 2 weeks. And I was like, this is not my scene. Like I would be present for all my sanda, that is Chinese boxing classes and kung fu, weapons, acrobatics, but Tai Chi was not my game. And then once I started getting a little better at meditation, I realized that, you know, I started reading about Tai Chi and it was like movement and meditation. So I think I was like, this is flow. Let's take it as movement and not Tai Chi. And you know, like, let's just move, because you have to take deep stance, move slowly, and like, you know, you tend to get a good control on your body. So I think it was after all of that, like I would just put movement in a big box and I would try to put everything inside it and be like, okay, so Tai Chi is movement. So I think you can smash Tai Chi, no problem.
But people say that Tai Chi used to be a very dangerous martial art.
It actually is very effective, but like the movements in Tai Chi, it's, you know, very orthodox, like very old traditional Chinese movements, which you wouldn't actually be using in a modern era. To be honest, like it's a simple, like you can just do a up middle block or something. So why do you want to go with a wave and, like, you know, not everyone gets to exactly. Not everyone understands Tai Chi because like when you're moving, right, Tai Chi. So basically, anything that you do, like even the basic movement when you lift your hand and bring it down. So your hand is supposed to be in a way where you're holding a vessel,
yeah.
And all the movements, it's all circular.
Yes.
Like, so not a lot of people actually get it. Like, I didn't get it in the first go.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually you have to be patient, you have to be very patient, like for a guy like me. And yeah, and then I started loving Tai Chi. I think it's beautiful.
I would love to learn with you.
Like, Tai Chi is beautiful. The movements
are beautiful.
Less
time all the time.
I'll come to Delhi, definitely.
Yeah, and I'll come. I always come here.
Definitely.
Now, it's a weird question. Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? As a martial artist, as a mover, as a coach? How many of you see yourself in China?
Actually, a very difficult question. I was actually offered a job in China, but I didn't take that because I felt like I can come back and teach over here. And, you know, I want people to experience what it is like to do this thing, which is not so freely available in the market.
Yeah.
And I felt like I want to learn, actually. I actually want to learn other forms as well. And if I stayed in China, then I would be restricted only to what I was learning. And I wouldn't ever want my learning process to stop. But in the next 5 years, I don't know. I just see myself moving, and like I'll be training.
Maybe
definitely.
A Kung Fu school in Calcutta.
Yeah, I want to do that. I really want to do that. Like open like a good school with not just martial arts, but a lot of stuff in it, like that you don't usually get it. That's not like, say, the school that we, the whole Shaolin school, the way they have their entire section of medicines and recovery. I want to get all of that stuff as well over here, like, you know, along with martial arts, because martial arts and recovery, they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I want to open up a place with like martial arts and sports and recovery. Like, that's actually my future goal. But I think for now, in the next 5 years, I just see myself moving and training. Like, I don't know, I'm just taking it as it comes. Like, I haven't planned anything, and I think it just doesn't go the way you plan. So,
yeah.
I feel like I'm going to continue.
But still, we can make a roadmap and...
Yeah, I actually wanted to open up a space, like, right after I came back from China, which was, like, in first week of December, but... I realized that once I open up a space, I won't be able to go outside and train further, because then I'll be stuck, because it's going to be like my baby. So I want to like be there and help everyone. And in that process, I would have just lost my own training time, which I think I'm very selfish about. Absolutely. That's the reason why you haven't opened up a space.
Yeah.
Or
all the,
like, I remember other day I was asking you, like, why aren't you opening up a space?
First thing is finances, definitely. And the second thing, I don't want to invest so much time. I mean, if I'm a trainer, I should train at least 5-6 hours every day.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, what will I train other people?
No, makes sense.
Yeah. So, Karan, we had a great chat.
Oh yeah, this was beautiful.
Definitely, it's very brief, and I wanted to go over a long, long talk. We'll do it some other time.
Absolutely. Next time in your city.
Yeah. You're most welcome, man. And we'll do some lessons, and we'll try to make some videos for people.
I have to practice all the drills that you've given me.
Yeah, and still
it
I need
helpful,
that.
It was helpful.
Do some stick work. I wanted to learn from you.
I'm going to get sticks for you when I'm in Delhi, for sure.
Yeah. So, thanks a lot. And let's meet again very soon.
Absolutely. This was good.
Yeah.
Catch up soon, like, with more of your training, more of my training.
Get
Avinash also next time. And, like,
the movement culture in India.
Absolutely. It'll be beautiful.
We'll do it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
That was Abhishek in conversation with Karan. And here we are at the end of our first episode of our fourth season. Stay tuned for more such conversations and make sure you subscribe. Don't forget to click on the social link provided below in order to connect with me, Karan or Abhishek. Make sure to check our website, which is www.roadtorevamp.com. I shall see you next time. Till then, stay healthy, stay strong. My name is Sagar, and you are listening to Road to Revamp.